Well, good morning this beautiful morning. It's good to see all of your faces. For a meditation in the scripture this morning, let's turn to Lamentations chapter 3. I'm just going to read 8 or so verses here. Starting at the 18th verse of Lamentations chapter 3. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to that soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. There's a couple points I would like to make out of these few verses. As Jeremiah wrote this scripture down, he had a heavy heart. And I would suspect that for the most part, we don't come here with heavy hearts after a weekend like we've had. But the reality of it is that life comes at us in full force too many times, so many times, all the time. And our hearts can get heavy and we can have laments in our heart that just take our focus off of who we are and who we need to be and who we need to be looking at. And just notice here in the 19th verse that Jeremiah says, in all of his lamentations and soreness of heart and bitterness and just all those feelings he was having, he says, remembering mine affliction and my misery. And the first word I want to think about is just remembering. And you name it, there's something to remember in our past that we just lament about. Maybe it's some pain, maybe it's some sickness, maybe it's some disease, maybe it's some fallacy that we've created or some relationship that we've broken. Or maybe on a weekend like this, we're just a little bit lamented and we're a little bit sore because we're lacking on sleep. But we don't want to focus on that. And not be distracted by the discouragements that come around us that cause us disappointment and distraction. But he goes on, and in the 21st verse, he says, you'll notice the word recall. Now, I understand that remember and recall is very similar words. But as he remembered the laments of what was going on, and you can read about that, how Jerusalem was destroyed and Israel was destroyed and all the people were scattered and on, all the misery that went around that. But then he recalled to his mind. And this morning I would like us to recall to our minds, to bring back to some memory of the goodness of God, especially the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. It's a blessed morning. The sun is shining bright in the natural sense. And it's a blessed morning and the sun is shining bright in the spiritual sense. Do we see it? Is our hope focused off of the things of the world? And are we focusing and hoping toward the Lord Jesus Christ? Recall to mind. And I already got onto the word hope and I wanted to use the word respond. And that's what we want it to be. We want it to be a response to the hope that is in our hearts and in our breasts as we go through the day and as we go through the rest of this week, the rest of our lives. A response to what the Lord has done for us. And we can remember and then we come to recall and then we respond in a positive action toward the good, toward the hope, toward a stayed heart, a patient heart, a waiting heart, a confident and a trusting heart. One of the Psalms, I think it's in the 46th Psalm, says, "Be still and know that I am God." That's what stillness in a congregation sounds like. Be still and know that I am God. Still our hearts, still our minds, and focus on the things that are right and good and true. And hope will well up within our hearts, I believe. I came across a definition of hope, and it said the inner ability to envision possibilities beyond our current circumstances, even when faced with visible challenges. Elijah had done a miraculous thing, and he challenged those prophets of Baal, and it wasn't very long that his life was sought after, and Jezebel said, "I'm going to take your life." Elijah found himself on the run. He was on the run, and he just finally came to a place and he laid down under a tree, just wanted to die. An angel came and met him there and gave him food. He went back to sleep. He just wanted to die. And the angel told him to get up and go forward. And he gave him enough food. That the food he provided him gave him strength for 40 days and 40 nights. And he went off and he found himself in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. He found himself on a mountain. The 11th verse, he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by and a great strong wind rent the mountain and break it in pieces, the rocks before him. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Has your life ever been a whirlwind? Has there ever been any earthquakes, things that shake you in your life? Is there ever things in our lives that burn us up, that just consume us from within? Yes, there are. I think that spells out the emotions of a man pretty well. But God showed up in the still, small voice. Sometimes we have to quiet ourselves and come away for a little bit and just taste and see that the Lord is good. Peter, the third chapter, says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you for the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear." He doesn't even question whether there's a hope within you. He knows there is. And he wants us to be able to express that. Romans 8:24 says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for?" Kind of like our faith. tied directly to our faith. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Patience sounds like a quiet word. We can't be too stirred up. We can't have earthquakes and fires and whirlwinds and call ourselves patient. It just doesn't correlate with each other, it doesn't seem like. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Somehow this week, there was a few groanings went out. I didn't even know how to pray. And I would get a little off center in the middle of that. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God has our back. He has our best interests in his mind. The 22nd verse of Lamentations 3 said, it is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. The writer begins to recognize the purpose and the worth and the source of this hope. He recognizes who is it that provides these mercies? It is the Lord. And what is it that's provided? It is mercy. And in the middle of that, in the middle of all of our laments, our pains, and our problems, we are not consumed. Have you ever felt consumed by them? I have. It's very real. It gets pretty close to our hearts. And it can redirect my thinking away from the Almighty God. It has. Because we were just talking here, the 23rd verse says, they are new every morning. Speaking of God, of the Lord's compassions. New every morning. New every morning is the love our waking and arising prove. Through sleep and darkness safely brought, restore our life and power and thought. Notice the words of the hymn writer in the third stanza says, some softening gleam of love and prayer shall dawn on every cross and care. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And I just wrote it down this way. That is a remarkable statement that the writer made. Because great is God's faithfulness. Regardless of the circumstance of our life. It does in no way, it diminishes God's faithfulness and his goodness toward us. We can sit here very comfortably this morning and say, God is faithful. But how do we do when life gets tough? When there's whirlwinds? When there's earthquakes? And I'm talking about emotional things. And when there's fire going on, how do we do? Do we willingly confess that God is faithful? It's not always as easy to say it then. It's not even as easy to believe it. But it's such a remarkable statement that we need to impress it on our hearts daily. New every morning are your mercies. It doesn't mean they're new as in If it happened yesterday, it's not yesterday's mercies, it's today's mercies. Yesterday's mercies served their purposes. Today they're new and they're fresh in a sense that they serve today's purposes. And they'll meet today's specific needs for every one of us. And they're new in the sense that they've arrived even before we ask for them. Even before we arose from our beds this morning, these mercies were pouring out. Because God seeks those that love Him. And that have committed themselves to them. He is more committed than we are. Great is His faithfulness, it says. We've remembered some things that we don't really want to remember, maybe. We attempt to recall the good things, the hope that we had before we got tangled up in the bad things. And I hope there's been a response in our heart, there can be, as we recognize how remarkable this God is. There's a hymn writer writes it this way, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. That's how he wrote it. And let's embrace it. I think we'll just go to prayer. Truly, Father, great is thy faithfulness. And this morning we've been met with a new set of mercies that are larger and more abundant than the things that might discourage us. Help us to embrace that, to press it on our hearts in a mighty way, in a loving way that only you can do. We thank you for this new morning. We thank you for this new opportunity to come to your house and open up your word, to pray unto you, to sing unto you, and not alone, but we're here together. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Father, for that. That is a new mercy too. And it's an exhibition of your faithfulness to us. So thank you. We thank you for all that have come out this morning. And we just pray for the hearts of each one of us that we would open them wide to receive of the good things that you have for us. Pray you'd go with us the remainder of the day. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that I offer this prayer this morning. Amen.
Amen. Let's lift our voices together and pray. Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.